today is found in the Gospel of Matthew, of Mark, and of Luke concerning the death or the beheading of John the Baptist. We find that Jesus sent out his disciples to preach the word, and he gave them power to cast out devils and to heal the sick. And these disciples went forth, commissioned by their Lord and Master, and went doing these wonders and these miracles throughout the Holy Land. And there came such a fame from what they were doing and what Jesus was doing. Everybody was speaking about what Christ was doing. And now we have that Herod, of the Tetrarch, he heard of the fame of Jesus. And he said that it was John the Baptist who was risen from the dead. And therefore these mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said it was Elias. Others said it was a prophet or one of the prophets that had risen from the dead, and therefore these things were taking place. But Herod, he insisted that it was none other but John the Baptist, who he had beheaded and who had been risen from the dead, and therefore these mighty wonders were taking place. This Herod is called Herod Antipas. He was a son of Herod the Great, mentioned in Matthew 2. This Herod the Great, he had 10 wives and he had 15 children. Four of these children are mentioned in Scripture. Four sons, Archelaus, this Herod Antipas, and Herod Philip, and Philip, who Herodias was married to. These were the sons that are mentioned in Scripture of Herod the Great. Herod the Great was a terrible man. The history of this man, if you read it in the commentary, you would say he was no man. One relates it was better to be one of Herod's hogs than one of his children, for he even had his children put to death, he had his wife put to death, and from this family came 15 children. And now this Herod Antipas, he was tetrarch over a fourth part of the Holy Land, over Galilee. He did not receive that what his father had, for he was king over it, but he only got a fourth part of it. And now this Herod Antipas, he was married to a woman who was a daughter of the king of Arabia Petria. His name was Aretas, this king. His daughter then was married to Herod Antipas. Now Herod Antipas, he had a great passion for Herodias. She was married to Philip. This was a brother of Herod Antipas. And she likewise had a great passion for Antipas. And now this Antipas, he sent his own wife away so that he could marry Herodias. He divorced then his wife and sent her away. And this woman was the daughter of Aretas, the king over Arabia Petria. When Herod Antipas did this, her father, he immediately gathered his army together and he went to war against Herod. And he defeated Herod and he slew every one of his army. The Jews said that this was a judgment of God upon this man because he had killed John the Baptist. And now this John the Baptist was the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. He was born 6 months before Christ. He is called the forerunner of Jesus. Nothing is related of his life, only his birth, and then when he became 30 years of age, we hear of his showing unto Israel. He was in the deserts all this time, living a solitude life. But then he came forth, and he began to preach that the kingdom of God was near at hand. He preached to the Jewish people. These Jewish people, they were the descendants of Abraham, and they were the chosen nation of God, and they rested in this, thinking that they only were the people of God. But John the Baptist, a faithful servant of Christ, came preaching unto these people that this was insufficient, that a new heart was necessary, a new birth was necessary, a returning unto God from their sins was necessary, and to believe in him who was coming, namely the Messiah, who John proclaimed would surely come and was coming even in near time. These Jews then, they heard from the mouth of John what was necessary to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He was a faithful preacher, this man. He did not hold anything back. He spake the truth. He had no regard for his own honor or his own glory, but he meant nothing else but the honor and the glory of God and of Jesus Christ. And many of these people that came to hear him in the wilderness, they were wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. It fastened upon their hearts, and they were born again. They were given to come forward and make confession of their sins unto John. Many of the soldiers we read of came to him and confessed their sins and asked him for advice how they should live and what they should do, which you can find in the beginning of the gospel. And John then was a faithful preacher. Not only was he faithful to the Jewish people, but he was faithful likewise to Herod, who was the tetrarch at that time. He's called king in several places, but he was not king. And when he heard that this Antipas had married Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, then we find that John went to him, and John spake to him about this marriage, and told him that he was living in adultery, and that he should put away this woman, and that he should put away his sins and turn back to God. John feared no man. He didn't fear the king either. He was a faithful witness of Christ and a faithful witness of the truth. He warned and admonished this king. And now when Herodias, who was the wife of Herod Antipas, heard John speaking in this way to Herod, as she became angry. She began to hate this man, John, because he spake so forcefully and he spake so convincingly unto this man, Herod, that she feared that he would surely listen to him and put her away. Therefore, she hated him the more. This man, Herod, he heard John gladly, it says, and he'd done many things that John advised the people to do. But when he spake to him about putting away Herodias, this he would not do. This he could not do. This man, Herod, he was like a king under the Old Testament. We have Ahab the king, a wicked king. This king desired a vineyard, as you know. And because he could not get this vineyard, why, we find that he became peevish and fretful and wouldn't eat, and he laid himself down on the bed. And his wife came to him and said, "Are you king? I'll get you this vineyard." So she sent and she had this Naboth murdered. And now God came to Ahab, came to Elijah and said unto Elijah, "Arise and go to Ahab and speak unto him in my name." And he told this Ahab that where the blood of Naboth was shed, there his blood would be shed. And he spake of Jezebel his wife, that the dogs would eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Now when Ahab heard this message from God, then Ahab humbled himself greatly in the sight of God. And he put on sackcloth and ashes and walked humbly, it says. And when God seen that Ahab humbled himself, then God said that he would not bring the evil upon him in his days, but in his son's days. This teaches us, just like Herod, when he heard John, then he did many things too. The commentary says he probably prayed and he gave alms to the poor. He tried in this way to put away the voice of his conscience, which was speaking to him every time he heard John preach. He tried in this way to cover his sins. How many in this life attempt in this way, by going on in their sins and still attempting to do good things, and thinking by doing these good things that they will obtain mercy by God? And now this Herod Antipas, because Herodias has such a hatred towards John, and to appease her, he had John taken prisoner and bound him and put him in a prison. Now this prison was 90 stadium, or almost 90 miles away from Galilee. It was on the east shore of the Dead Sea. It was in this prison that John was bound and remained there for a year and a half almost. But the voice then of John the Baptist was silenced. He couldn't preach anymore. He was taken prisoner and led to this place because he had been a witness of the truth and testified to the king and to his wife that they shouldn't live in adultery. There are several prophets in the Bible that have experienced this in like manner. We read even in Ahab's time of Micaiah. You know that this prophet was called to prophesy before Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Jehoshaphat had required that a prophet of the Lord be sought. Well, he says, "I have one," he says, "Micaiah, but I hate him," he says. This King Ahab, he hated him. Why did he hate him? Because he spake the truth. And when he was called and he testified before all the other prophets that Ahab would fall in battle, then Ahab became so angry with this Micaiah that he had him sent back to Ammon the governor into the prison, and he fed him with bread and water of affliction. This is what this man got for telling the truth, and this is what John the Baptist got. Jeremiah, likewise, he was put in a dungeon, as you know, and in prison, too, for witnessing for God and for his truth. And now John's sitting in prison for a year and a half. Thinking of this, I thought Christ knew that John was in prison. John was a faithful servant of Christ, and if Christ had willed it, then John could have been delivered out of the hands of Herod. He could have been delivered out of that prison. There's nothing impossible for Christ to do. But he remained in this prison for a year and a half, and Christ never visited him, never came to see him. His disciples, John's disciples, came to Christ Then he sent the disciples back to assure John that he was the Messiah, because all these wonders were taking place, but he never went to see John himself. John then was bound in this prison, in a dark chamber, and tied, chained, so that he couldn't get loose. Herod did this for Herodias' sake. Now, not only did he do this for Herodias' sake, but the commentary says he did it for John's sake. Because had he not put John in prison, then this Herodias, she would have cooked up a plan to have him killed. But now he was in prison, so she couldn't get at him. So he was safe there from Herodias. And he did this to appease her. John then was in this dark place, way far away. Now, we read that Herod heard of Jesus. He heard of the fame that was being spread abroad about him. This Herod, as I said, had been at war with Archias, and he had been defeated. This place, Marcellus, far away, was the place where Herod had his headquarters when he was making war. And it was at this place that what we have following in this chapter took place, because it was immediately done. Therefore, the commentary says he had not heard about Jesus yet. All he knew about was about John the Baptist. And when he heard these things going on, then he attributed it to the wonder of God that he was risen from the dead again. And now we find that this Herodias, she was the wife then of Herod Antipas. And John had said unto them, unto him, that it was unlawful for him to have her. In which way and in how many ways was it unlawful for him to have her? Three. In the first place, his wife was living. In the second place, her husband was living, and she had a child by him, a daughter called Salome. And in the third place, this Herodias was a daughter of Herod Antipas's brother. So you can see that it was all blood relation, contrary to scripture and contrary to the rule of marriages. In three ways, then, it was unlawful for him to have this woman. This family of the Herods, they cared not, it seems, for the commentary says that even this daughter, Salome, she married her uncle, and after this, she married another man by the name Aristobul, and she died a horrible death, according to the commentary. This daughter of Herodias. But now, this woman, she was seeking for an opportunity to have John the Baptist killed. And now there came a day that it was Herod's birthday, and he gave a supper for the lords and for the captains and for the estates of Galilee. He gathered a lot of men together, and he gave them a banquet. And they were feasting and drinking and becoming intoxicated. This is nothing unusual, even in the times in which we live, when those that are in government, those that are wealthy, give a banquet, then that happens quite often, that they become intoxicated, and that things take place at these banquets that even lead to murder. Many times there are harsh words spoken, and there are fights, and sometimes it happens that someone is even killed when these things are going on. And now this banquet being held, then we find that this Herodias, she sent her daughter, Salome, in to dance before these men that were all sitting, eating, and drinking. This was an act of immodesty. They did not allow the females to dance before men. Females were usually kept behind and hidden from the view of men. But she came dancing in the front of all these men. And when, of course, these men, being inflamed with wine and seeing this young girl dancing, probably in an immodest way, then their eyes were filled with fire and their passions were put on fire. And we find that even Herod, he was so taken up with what he was looking upon that he spake unto this damsel. And he said unto her, "Ask of me what thou wilt, and I will give it unto thee." "Ask of me," he says, "what thou wilt, even to the half of my kingdom." And he swore unto her that he would give her what he had promised. This taking an oath and this speaking in this way, in an intoxicated manner as he was, this was such a foolish thing for this king to do, for he practically swore before God that he would give her what she wanted. And he likewise sinned very greatly when he promised this to her, for he was at the mercy of this damsel. All she had to do was ask for whatsoever she wanted, and she would have it. But now, she didn't know what to ask. So she hasted to her mother, and she says, "What shall I ask him?" And she said unto her, "Go back and ask him for the head of John the Baptist in a charger." We have here then the queen, Herodias, the mother of this young girl, making her daughter an accomplice in the murder of John the Baptist. We do not read that this young girl spoke to her mother or protested concerning this, which surely any normal girl would do if their mother asked them to ask something like this. Surely she should have responded and said, "Mother, don't you realize what you're asking me to do? You're asking me to go to the king and ask him to murder John the Baptist. This makes me a murderer, and it'll make the king a murderer too." But she never said anything according to the scripture. She obeyed her mother, and she hasted into the king, and she said unto the king, "I desire that thou bring me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist." This then was the request. Well, did Herod know where this request came from? He knew that his wife hated this man and was seeking an opportunity to have him killed. And now he had sworn unto this damsel that he would give her what she would ask. Now, this oath that he had taken was a sinful oath. It would have been to his honor had he spoken to this girl and said, "This is something that I cannot do. This makes me a murderer of a holy and of a just and a righteous man, and I will not do it." But he did not answer her this way. He was so filled with pride, thinking that if he denied this girl this, then those that were sitting with him would make a laughing stock out of him. And he had sworn with an oath. So rather than deny his oath, he consented that it should be done. It says that he was very sorry when he heard her say this. He was sorry for himself, because he knew that the people loved John the Baptist, that he was esteemed by them, and that it might cause an uproar and a mutiny among the people. And he likewise was sorry for John the Baptist. But this sorrow that he had was not a godly sorrow. It was not a sorrow because of his sins and his iniquities. It was not a sorrow that caused him to deny this girl this. It led not to that. But he consented. And he immediately sent an executioner, which went to the prison and beheaded John. John sitting in the prison. Suddenly the door opens, and in comes a guard from this Herod with a sword in his hand, and immediately he cuts the head of John the Baptist off. This was the end of this faithful and true witness of God. John the Baptist was murdered in this prison, and this executioner, he took the head of this man and put it in a dish and hasted back to the king with this head of John the Baptist. And when he brought it to the king gave it unto this girl. Can you picture something like this? A young girl with the head of a man bleeding, and then on a dish. It's gruesome. And she went and she gave it to her mother. This was what her mother had desired. This is what had taken place. She had such a hatred for this man that Matthew Henry says, Jerome relates, that she took a needle and she pulled the tongue of John the Baptist out and stuck a needle through his tongue just for revenge. Now she was satisfied. She thirsted after his blood, and this bloody sign that she had in the front of her did not deter her from doing something like this. John the Baptist's life was cut off. By what? By a whorish woman, a woman living in adultery. Or we would say, how is it possible that God would let something like this take place to any one of his servants? It's mysterious to us. But God has all sorts of ways in which his servants and his people sometimes meet their end. And it always leads to the glory of God as well as to the salvation of the person who was such a faithful witness as John was. For John, it wasn't too bad. The instant that his head was cut off, he was in a prison. He was in a dark hole. He was bound. He was clothed with what? Camel's hair. A mere garment that he had upon him. But the instant that he was slain, then his soul was transferred to glory above. He was taken home to be with the Lord forever and ever. His body was interred in a tomb by his disciples. His disciples were faithful unto John, even unto the end. They had visited him when he was in prison, and when they heard that he had been slain, then they came and they took his body and they put it in a tomb. Oh, we could picture the sorrow, the grief that these disciples had when they had to bury their faithful master. And now these disciples, they had heard John speaks so often in his preaching about Jesus. He had pointed to them that he was the Messiah. He was the Lamb of God. And many of the disciples of John had went to Jesus and had followed Jesus in and through the preaching of John. But these disciples, they had remained with him. And they were faithful to John unto the end. But now when they remembered what he had taught them and what he had preached to them, then they also went to Jesus. And they followed Jesus. This was proper. These disciples, they became faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. We have been speaking unto you about John the Baptist. I began that he was a faithful witness, and the memory of the just is blessed. And this took place, according to this scripture, before time. It was because Herod heard of the fame of Jesus that he relates this in this chapter. And this, what he had done, came back to his memory. Came back to his mind and to his conscience. This murder that he had committed testified within him even after John had been beheaded a long time ago already. This teaches us, my hearers, many times people do things in this life and their conscience witnesses against what they do. And they have no rest sometimes, day and night. It's a mercy if you have done something against someone and your conscience witnesses, and you may go back to that person and ask that person for forgiveness. But in this case, the man had been beheaded. He had been murdered. And now this came back to Herod Antipas. And oh, he had no rest either for this man, for he remembered what he had done. All conscience, when it goes open, it gives a person no rest. This teaches us when a person dies in his sin and his conscience shall go open in eternity, then all his sins will come back to him and will testify against him. And this worm that shall never die shall never be put out. You can never quench it. It will remain forever and ever. This will be one of the torments of hell, an open conscience witnessing against the way you have lived and what you have done. Even sometimes in this life, when conscience goes open, people know not what to do. Some have murdered some people, and they take their own life. We have an example in scripture of Judas. His conscience went open. He had, in and through the devil, and in and through the desire for money, he had been a traitor to his master, Jesus Christ, and he had delivered him over into the hands of the Jews. And when this conscience of his went open, then he had no rest. He ran to the halter and he took his life. He ran with a hell within him to the hell below. That's where Judas ended up. And this is where everyone will end up who is never found at the feet of Christ begging for the forgiveness of their sins. This faithful witness, John, was remembered too by his disciples. They remembered what he had taught them. They had heard so many times about Jesus from his own lips. He never glorified himself, but he always pointed them to him who was to come. And now when he died and was killed in this way, they remembered that. And they immediately resorted to Jesus. Oh, my hearers, there have been faithful witnesses even amongst us. There are many times servants of God that have labored before us, and they have warned, they have admonished, they have spoken in God's name unto us, that we should turn from our sins unto God. These warnings, these admonitions, they sometimes come home to us when these servants are dead already, when they're buried already. All that you that are listening to me may be able to give heed to the warnings, to the admonitions that God sends unto you, to turn you from your sins unto the living God. Turn ye, for wherefore will ye die, is the word of God. He has no delight in the death of the wicked, but therein that they turn and live. O my hearers, may you fall down before him and say, Lord, you say, turn, turn. I say, turn me, and I will be turned. Save me, Lord, and I will be saved. Oh, what an awful thing it will be if all these warnings and admonitions that you have been under throughout your lifetime will come back to you, and all these witnesses in your conscience. Oh, I wish I had listened. I wish I had done what I had heard. Oh, how I wished I had put it into practice. Oh, I never made any attempt. I just abhorred it. I cared not about it. And now I am in this place because of my own sin and of my own guilt. Faithful witnesses have been before us. They have spoken to us. They have warned and admonished us. But not only have they done that, they have likewise spoken many times to the heart of Jerusalem. Many times children of God can go back. In their minds sometimes they remember what this servant said and what that servant said, and it was brought home to their hearts. It may have been that a servant had been speaking, and God directed the arrow into your soul, and you were wounded. You were brought to the feet of Christ. You were given a new birth. You'll never forget that servant. You'll never forget the word that he spake. Many times God's servants are mouthpieces for his people. They speak words of comfort, of direction, of encouragement to those that are seeking Christ. Oh, some of you that are listening to me, you know of times that you've been under the ministry of the word, whether it be the preaching, whether it be the reading, but then these servants have been given by the inspiration of God to be used for your comfort. Or you remember when you were in distress, when you knew not what to do anymore, when everything came to an end with you, when it was by you, it's lost, it's undone. It's not God's work. The servant was used. The word came. You had to accept it. You had to believe it. You remember such times? Oh, they're sweet sometimes to go back to. And sometimes they become lively. Sometimes they become so true again for your immortal soul. My time is gone, my hearers. I have much more to say about being a faithful witness. But I hope that you and I may be faithful witnesses in this life. Witness against sin. Witness against your own self. And witness in your home. Witness for God. And then when death comes, then you likewise will receive the lot that John the Baptist received, for he was taken home to be with God forever and ever. The Lord bless the feeble instruction this day to your immortal soul. That's all.